Oh, God, you're so good. You're so good. I could just sing that song over and over. Thank you, Holy Spirit, his presence. Enjoy his presence. You know, that's what he created us for, to enjoy him. To enjoy him forever. Thank you, Jesus. What a God we serve, amen. What a God we serve. It's a shame that the whole world doesn't know him, isn't it? It is a tragedy. It is unconscionable that the world doesn't know this God who we stand in the presence of right now, who's making me tremble in his presence because of his amazing love and his goodness and his majesty. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last week, Deb and I, we took some time to get away and celebrate our anniversary. 41 years. For 41 years, Deb and I have got to share our love and our life together. And you know, we had a wonderful time at Niagara-on-the-Lake, and you know, at some point we decided to go for a drive because, you know what, we're riding in style, as my wife attests to. It's our car. For 41 years, it's our car, but I drive it. As the men, never mind. Anyway, so we're driving by the falls, and another Mustang pulls up beside us, and he's waving to get our attention, you know, and we're driving you know, along the Niagara Boulevard, and so I rolls down the window, and he asks, he goes, "Were you part of the Niagara cruise, Mustang cruise today?" And I said, "No, didn't know anything about it." And then as we're driving side by side through the windows, he introduces us. He starts telling us, he's all excited about it, and he introduces us to this group called Mustang Addicts of Canada. Hey, I got a one amen back there. And brother, I want to tell you about Mustang Addicts of Canada. You got to get on their Facebook. You know, and he tells me about their Facebook page, and you know, he wasn't the least bit bothered by the fact that there were all kinds of cars lining up behind us. And this guy's a total stranger, and he didn't seem shy, embarrassed, or hesitant. He had some information he thought we would appreciate. You know what? And in those few minutes, we received some good news. And I am now an official member of Mustang Addicts of Canada. My wife, however, she is a little bit skeptical. She's not so sure it's good news, and she wants to test it out for a while. She'll come sooner or later. But you know what? The Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment and said, "It's that easy. It's that easy." He brought to my mind a woman who did something very similar, and she went out to get some water, and she had an encounter with Jesus that changed her life, so much so that she went back to her town, and she began to tell everybody who would listen about this man, and John records that many became members of the Mustang, many believed in Jesus because of what she told them. You know what? It's that easy. It's just that easy. A few weeks ago, I talked to you about living in the flow. And we looked at John 7, verses 37 to 39. And there Jesus promises, for the person who believes in him, from their innermost being, from the deepest cravings of their soul, there will be a continuous flow, rivers of living water. Life, abundant, eternal life. And of course, Jesus was referring to the satisfying and empowering gift of the Holy Spirit that all those who believe in him would receive. And then a week later, we talked to you about how to stay in the flow, even when facing the unexpected. And we learn that, number one, no matter what our circumstance, the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Amen? Jesus went into the wilderness, and he came out with the wilderness. The Holy Spirit led him in, and the Holy Spirit came out with him. The Holy Spirit will never leave us. We also learn that our identity, our relationship in God does not change. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is. You are still a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Our identity, our relationship in Jesus Christ does not change. Remember, Jesus says, "This is my beloved son." And when Jesus found himself in the wilderness, he never said, he's not my son anymore. I'm upset with him and I'm punishing him. Our identity in Christ never changes due to circumstance. And thirdly, we learn to apply the truth of God's word to our situation, because our mind and our thoughts can go all over the place. The enemy of our soul wants to come to us and tempt us. And we learn that we need to apply the truth of God's word to our situation. So today I want to talk to you about living in the flow, releasing the river. Releasing the river. You know what? We have some information worthy of holding up traffic on the Niagara Boulevard. Amen? There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Do you believe that this morning? We've got a message, church. It's a life-changing message. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus to set us free. There is power in the name of Jesus to meet every single need. Amen? There is power in the name of Jesus. And we have some good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting, abundant life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen? That's good news to everybody. That's good news. See, I talk about Mustangs and you get all excited. Jesus, we've got good news. There is power in the name of Jesus. We have a Savior. For God so loved the world that he came, that whosoever believes on him should be saved. Amen? He didn't come to condemn the world, but through the world that those who believe in him should be saved. Amen? And that's every letter under the alphabet, by the way. And I don't say that facetiously, I mean it, because I hear so much this and that and argument again about this and these people are going to hell and those people are under judgment and all of this crazy stuff. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall be saved. For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that through the world it might be saved. Amen. But he doesn't leave us in our condition, because there is power in the name of Jesus to set us free and transform us into what he originally created us to be, his likeness and his image. Amen? That's the love of God. That's the message we carry today. Amen? It's a message of hope and life and freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said to his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Because the Holy Spirit will be like that river in you, releasing a new changed life, which is a proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We learned that that river cannot be contained. And as we receive this new life by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, there is a life in here that fills us, that renews us, but it cannot be contained. It wants to flow out of us, amen, onto eternal life. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, let it flow. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have taught you. I am with you always. Then Jesus said, go, and I love this. He says, and preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Let it flow. Let it flow, amen. Let the life of the Spirit that God has filled you with, let it flow. Go, preach that the kingdom of heaven has come near you. Heal the sick, raise the dead. That's where we hit the wall a little bit, don't we? But we don't have to, because we put the pressure on us. It's all about him. It's him, his power, his name, in the name of Jesus. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I told you, I've got the documents of when we were in India and we paid for all the AIDS people at the leper colony who had AIDS. Every one of them, and I got the documentation sealed, every one of them has been after their blood test, which is have been diagnosed, has been shown, it's good news, so that's positive, but it's a negative test, so they're all negative. That virus is gone out of their body, every single one of them. Go, preach the good news, heal the sick, cast out devils. There is power in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. As you go, freely you have received, freely give. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 5. And I want to read to you verses 17 to 42. And I think we can learn some things, some truths from the disciples here that will help us release the river, the outward flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse 17. As we come to verse 17, we'll see that earlier the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. The river was flowing. People used to meet. More and more people were believing in the Lord. The Lord added to their number. The sick were being healed. Some people brought people out in the street so Peter's shadow might fall them. Crowds gathered from all around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and their tormented by evil spirits. And listen to this, all of them were healed. Every single one of them were healed. Man, the river was flowing. And then somebody tried to build a dam. Acts 5:17. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. You know, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you allow the river of God to begin to flow in you and you run into some challenges, some jealousy. People will start to get jealous of you. They'll try to shut you down, you know, especially the religious folk. They were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this good news. And as I was reading that, it just really struck me. Go. This angel comes and he opens the prison doors. You know, when we are purposed to let the river of God flow, the life of the Holy Spirit flow out of us, as we're purposed to have this outward flow, you know what? There's nothing that can stop the river of God flowing in our lives. There's nothing that can stop the message, the good news from being released in our lives. No prison wall can stop it. The angel of the Lord came, opened the prison doors, and sent them and said, go, go tell the people the full news of this message. And at daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering, what could come of this? Then someone came and said, look, these men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. What gives? I added that part. At that, the captain went and his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared the people would stone them. And having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We give you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. I love this. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. But God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in this present case, I advise, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is from human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. What a powerful, powerful statement. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You can't stop the purposes of God, amen? What you can do is come into alignment with the purposes of God. And when we come into alignment with the purposes of God and walk in the will of God, guess what? His will and purpose cannot be stopped. You cannot be stopped. Amen? His speech persuaded them. They called the disciples in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I read that really fast. His speech persuaded them. They flogged them. They flogged them. Catch a hold of that. And then order them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they flogged them. They said, don't you do this anymore. And so what did the apostles do? They left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. And day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and preaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. They never stopped. They could not be stopped. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What an ordeal they faced. And I love that. Instead of getting upset and upset with God, they rejoice. You know, instead of getting, you know, how many people do I hear, oh, this life of God is so heavy. I hear the phrase, I'm carrying my cross, I'm bearing my cross. And it's this heavy life. This is a life of suffering, and it's this difficult way to live. The disciples faced it. They were flogged. How many here have been flogged? You've been flogged? They were flogged and ordered to stop. And instead of being upset and saying, God, where are you? God, why have you left us alone? God, why did you let this happen to me? God, I was doing your business and you abandoned me. No, they're preaching. They're declaring the name of Jesus. They're told to stop. They get flogged, again ordered to stop. And what do? They rejoice. They rejoice because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for his name. How many of us have that mindset? I'm not sure I fully have that mindset, but I want to. They counted it worthy. I'm not going out looking for suffering, by the way. I'm not looking out for somebody to beat me. But if somebody comes against me because I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to get upset. Amen? They had been counted worthy of suffering for his name because their eyes in their heart, their focus remained fixed on one thing, and that was Jesus Christ. They were fixed on Jesus Christ. Their attitude was one of worship before him. Amen? There was not a hint of complaint that came from them. There was not a groan that this was too difficult. Instead, there was, thank you, Jesus, that we get to do this. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to declare your good news. Thank you, Jesus, we get to testify in your name. Thank you, Jesus, we get to fill the great commission that you've commissioned us with. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to do this in your name and bring the good news. Thank you, Jesus, that you have counted us worthy. Thank you, Jesus, that we can testify and declare this message of good news. Thank you, Jesus, that you have called us. Thank you, Jesus, that you've put a message in our heart. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to share it. And as a result, the river of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, continued to be released through them. And day after day in the temple and from house to house, wherever they found themselves, they would not and they could not stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ, releasing the river of God. Amen? It was just in them. They couldn't hold it back. Hallelujah. Because the disciples, they understood some things. I hope that was the right water. There's three glasses under here. And that one was half full. They'll drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm them. Okay. They couldn't hold it back. Because they understood some things. Number one, the disciples, they understood that they had been commissioned. They had been appointed. They had been given authority, backed by the power of the living God. Verses 19 and 20, look at that. We know the Great Commission, but look at here. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out and said, go, go. Stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Go tell the people. Go tell the people. We have been commissioned and empowered by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who we were singing about today. We've been commissioned not just by somebody who has a good idea, not by me. Not by the elders of this church, but we've been commissioned to go tell the people this about this new life by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who created everything and called everything into being. That's no small thing, church. Understand who we've been commissioned by. The disciples understood they had been commissioned by the King. The King of Kings, not by the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees or any other body. They were accountable to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Secondly, they were empowered by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to tell you, in spite of what modern culture likes to say about Christians, you do not need to apologize. You do not need to be ashamed or embarrassed for identifying as a Christian. I want to say that so clearly. There has been stuff on Facebook. There has been stuff in the media denigrating Christians, making Christians look foolish, making Christians look narrow, making Christians look insensitive, making Christians look like hate mongers, all kinds of things. And I hear people, well, I don't want to call myself a Christian anymore. I'm just going to be known as a follower of Jesus. Don't give me that baloney. Can I say that in church? Don't give me that baloney. I'm a Christian. That name was given to the believers, was it back in Antioch, where it was first, they were first called Christians. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I am a follower of the King of Kings, and I am not embarrassed, ashamed of who I am in Jesus Christ. Amen? We do not have to be embarrassed. We do not have to be ashamed. Oh, you know, these people, I'm kind of embarrassed because they didn't represent Christ properly. Or yes, this group over here, maybe they got some twist in this. Oh, I don't want to identify. I will identify as a follower of Jesus Christ. I will declare his name. I am a Christian. I follow Jesus. And I will tell the people the truth of this new life that is within me. And I will not be ashamed of it. Amen? And I will straighten out whatever needs to be straightened out. I will speak truth wherever truth needs to be spoken. But I am not ashamed of being a follower of Jesus Christ, because he has changed my life. He has saved me. He has pulled me from the pit from which you are still stuck in. Amen? I might not say quite that direct. Maybe I will. But you're stuck. You're going to hell. Your life is in the balance. Why? I am not. I am free. I want you to be free too. I want you to be free too. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Look at verse 28. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. He said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you're determined to make us feel guilty. Just want to make us feel guilty. That's what culture says, modern culture says. You just want to make us feel guilty. You just want to make us feel bad. You're not inclusive. You're judgmental. You people are. Look at verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God. They refused to be intimidated. They knew, they understood they had been commissioned, and they refused to be intimidated. As disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, we do not need to to apologize, be ashamed, or identify, or embarrassed to identify as a Christian. As Paul said, and I've said it before, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. They understood that they had been commissioned by the King. Amen? Secondly, they understood they had a message. They understood they had a message. Not just any message. I mean, it was a real cool message driving down Niagara Boulevard. Hey, have you heard about Mustangs Addicts of Canada? I mean, that was great. But, hey, have you heard about Jesus Christ followers of the world? It didn't come up quite right, but. You know, they understood they had a message. But not just any message. It was a message of truth and of life that cut to the core. You know, people may not like it because it is a message that offends the flesh. You are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. You know, the truth is we are all guilty. And the message that we carry does point out that fact that we are guilty of this man's blood. We are all guilty because we're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, we are guilty. We are all guilty of sin, and we don't like to hear that, but that's the truth. And yes, we need a Savior, but that's not the whole of the message. Here's the rest. It is also a message of love and of hope, because there is a Savior who lifts us up out of that guilt, who has taken the guilt of sin upon himself so we can be free from the guilt. Amen? Because there is a Savior who is alive. His name is Jesus, who can and will forgive us our sins. Amen? Hallelujah, because there's power in the name of Jesus. The disciples knew, they understood they had a message. It wasn't just a message, but it was the only message of hope for a hopeless world. Amen? They had the only message of hope for a hopeless world. Do we understand that, church? The message we carry is the only message that carries hope for a hopeless world. It is the only message that can bring in a hope that does not fail. Amen? Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given by which men may be saved, but the name of Jesus. Say it out loud. Only in Jesus is there forgiveness of sins. Only in Jesus is there healing. Only in Jesus is there healing from all the damage of sin. Only in Jesus is there abundant and eternal life. Only in Jesus is there heaven. Only in Jesus. Only in Jesus is there life and life everlasting. Only in Jesus do we have a future. Only in Jesus do we have hope. Only in Jesus do we have an unshakable hope and an unfailing love. And only in Jesus can we find peace. Only in Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. There is no other name given under heaven or on earth by men can find salvation, freedom, or hope. Amen? It's the name of Jesus. Only Jesus. They understood that they had a life-changing message, backed by the power and demonstration of the kingdom of God. And they would not be held back, and they would not be intimidated. I love verse 40. I referred to it earlier. In spite of the beating, day after day, they never stop proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. The river flowed. The river flowed. The river flowed. They understood they had been commissioned. They understood they had a message of hope. Number three, they understood they had a responsibility. After being questioned and rebuked by the high priest, Peter and the other apostles replied, and see that in verse, we must obey God. We must tell the people the full message of this new life. They never deflected responsibility. They never came up with an excuse to get off the hook, so to speak. They never gave a moment's thought to what the backlash might be, and in this case, their own safety. They took responsibility to carry the message, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the people. And you know what? God confirmed that message by the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. People were being set free. People were being healed. And more people began believing in Jesus. Amen. Let the river flow, church. Let the river flow. And lastly, they understood they had to be intentional. They had to be intentional to get the message out to where the people were. Verse 20, the angel said to him, go stand in the temple courts. Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people. The angel, the temple court was where the people were. You know, it served as a place where Gentile seekers could actually come and find out about the one true God. And then so they understood there had to be, there had to be an intention. They had to be intentional in connecting with people, in getting involved with people, to let them see this new life that was at work in them. So they taught the people, but they also shared their lives with the people. They built relationships with the people. They got invited over to their houses for dinner, and they began to model through the affairs of life what this looks like. They taught the people, but they got involved with them. They went to their homes. They built relationships. You know, we don't all get the opportunity to stand in the pulpit. Don't all get the opportunity to preach the gospel at your workplace. But you all get the opportunity to model what Jesus looks like in real life and in real time by letting the river flow. And you know what? You'll get the opportunity to tell them then about this new life that was in you. But they knew they had to be intentional about it. It wasn't something that was, if it happens, it happens. They knew they had to be intentional. They had to go to people. Amen? The disciples understood they had been commissioned. They understood they had a message. They understood they had a responsibility, and they understood they had to be intentional. And as they walked in that truth, the river was released, and lives were changed. And as you keep reading, the church grew so much, they had to do something brand new and get some deacons in place to handle all the people. Pretty good, eh? That's what happens when we let the river flow. Go! Go! Go and tell the people the full message of this new life. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, Paul says. But join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God. Amen? Let the river flow. Let's stand together as the worship team comes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You have given us the message, Lord. You have commissioned us. You have empowered us. And you have filled us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, just a refreshing this morning that would break away anything that would cause the river of your life to be dammed up in any way. Father, that when we leave this place, we are changed, we are free. And we are bold to declare the message that you have put in our lives. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Let the river flow. Lord, I want the river to flow in me in a fresh and a new way. I want it to break out in me in ways that I haven't walked before. I want to walk in obedience to you. And I will declare this new life. Come, Holy Spirit, let the river flow.